You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Hey, what's up, people of the internet? Welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm David.
And this is, we're back in the studio. Last episode was shot in a Rivian R1S, and we had RJ Scaringe, the CEO of Rivian, talked about a variety of things. I thought it was really fun. If you haven't watched or listened to that one, definitely check it out. We got some exclusives, actually. Some interesting information about some new stuff they're doing with the wireless charger and the gear tunnel and the camp kitchen and all that.
R2.
So, R2 platform. Very cool. I'm just generally rooting for them because I think their first two products are really good. And I'm a product person. And when I see good products, I'm like, yeah, keep making those. Mm-hmm. Keep making good stuff. So check that out. That's up. Today, we've got also a bunch more stuff to talk about, including an AI dog in your car, maybe. The Nothing Ear 2 is out, Mac sales possibly plummeting, and new iPhone displays, or at least rumors about them. But first, Andrew has earmarked this as the most important announcement he's ever made. So I've ever made.
I didn't make this decision. I think it's the most overdue tech feature in existence.
The most overdue tech feature in existence.
Okay. Windows is making the print screen button open the snippet tool.
Like the snipping tool?
Yeah.
Did it not?
No.
What did it?
What is the snipping tool?
Did it print
tool?
The screen?
Okay.
It just took like, a screenshot.
I guess I'll have to like Windows forever. New when you hit print screen, just copies your desktop and it puts it on the clipboard.
A full screen screenshot.
Full screenshot of your desktop.
Yep. Okay.
As many monitors as you have, the whole thing, and puts it on your clipboard. Doesn't make it a file. Puts it on your clipboard and you have to then open it. I mean, okay, so for people who don't know this, whole desktop clipboard, you have to open up like Paint, paste it. Then if you want something specific in there, I have a vertical monitor and a landscape monitor. So I open Paint, paste a like sideways T, and then I have to find the thing I want to snip out and then take that out in Paint and then save it as a file.
Useless button.
It's not useless because it's the way to actually do it.
Well, just take a screenshot of what you actually want.
Well, and they've also...
With the snippet tool. Now the print screen button just actually lets you select immediately.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. They've had the snipping tool for a while, but you always have to open the app separately.
You have to like type snippet in there, which is...
That was easy. I mean, it's not... I guess I hit the Windows button and just type snip and enter, and it's always the first thing, and I just take a screenshot right
there's
away.
There's some hospital that is using a version of, like, Windows 95 that is so mad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they should be mad for that reason.
Yeah. I don't think 95. That the snipping tool even existed on Windows 95.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm pretty sure they only added the new enhanced snipping tool in, a recent version of Windows 10.
I guess probably, 10, yeah.
It would retroactively... change
the enhanced because they made a new one they made a
yeah,
new
it's better
tool.
Now
yeah
but I would always take screenshots in Windows by hitting Windows key snip or screenshot. I would this is like a screenshot app. I think that might have been like Windows Vista or something.
But there are also times like in a game when you like want to take a quick screenshot of something, like there'll be times where something's glitching out and you're just like to your friends like, what is going on my screen, and you want to take a quick screenshot and actually not just have it sit on your clipboard and forget about it. So being able to actually save a file directly, I don't know,
this is
I'm very excited. This is also something that's been on Mac for command shift four or five. Five is full,
options of being able to record or select an area. It like just changes your like you basically get to choose where to save it, all that stuff, but four is just selecting the area and having it,
which I do all the time.
I do all the time.
My desktop is usually 90% screenshots from that tool, like at all times.
You should see Tim's desktop. It's just like exports of memes that he accidentally made in like thumbnails of the Waveform podcast. It's like actually a staggering amount of them on his desktop. Yeah. It's a lot.
Chrome OS has a very good snipping tool that is a key, and it automatically opens the snipping tool. You can do recording, you can do area, you can do, you know.
That's what the print screen button should be.
Well, now it is.
Kids these days.
Now it is, yes.
Kids these days won't know what print screen even means.
They don't even know what printing is.
Yeah, they don't know print. They don't know print screen.
Soon they're not going to know what a screen is.
They don't even,
Neuralink.
I would agree this is the most overdue thing. I'm glad.
It's super overdue. That should have been a long time ago. But yeah, sorry. That's the end of my.
Speaking of things that will never be overdue, Mini Cooper.
What?
Mini is adding, this is a headline, they're adding a stupid AI dog.
That was my title, sorry.
Did you say this is my headline? Our headline is Mini is adding a stupid AI dog to distract you while driving.
Dude, that's what's happening. It works. It's not stupid.
Okay, let's explain what's happening here. If you've ever seen the inside of a Mini Cooper, they have this like large circular dial in the middle. Yeah. That's like their aesthetic. There's a big circular thing in the middle.
It's really ugly.
It is what it is. It's their aesthetic. They own it. Fine.
Yeah.
This concept of a future Mini Cooper, this large circular dial in the middle, is just one huge circular screen, which I guess that's what they picture their future to be like. Also, again, fine. You can do that. But for some reason, they have added a English bulldog named Spike. That's a cartoon dog that just dances around your screen and acts as an assistant in some capacity. When you actually watch the video, it just seems like, oh, it's going to distract you while you're driving. It's just dancing around. Like, literally, it has, like, the navigation, like, small and tucked over to the right. Like, you need to turn in 50 meters, but also here's a huge dog twerking in the middle of the screen. What is going on? This is a weird hierarchy of information.
I can just see you getting in a really bad car accident. There's steam coming out of your car, and the dog's just twerking, glitching out in the center.
Having to explain why you rear-ended someone. It's like, I'm sorry, Spike was just freaking out on my screen. Spike.
Yeah. It's weird. What would you want this dog to do? Why are they even doing this?
They haven't exactly said what it's going to do, just that it That's will perfect. What yeah, did they say it was very low-key. It will just help support with features of the car, essentially, which I think is basically just what? Remember the Mercedes, like, I don't think it's going to be this. We talk about ChatGPT and all this AI stuff now. I don't think it's going to be a ChatGPT enabled dog rope AI or whatever. It's probably just going to be like Google Assistant with a stupid dog that jumps around. And but like, we've seen cars do this. Like, Mercedes had its own virtual assistant, and they're terrible.
They're all bad.
This is just going to be that, but when it's terrible, at least it's coming from a cute little dog, and maybe you won't complain about it all the time.
I will say, this is the only one that I've seen in a car that's not using the name of the car brand as a trigger word. So when you're driving a Mercedes and you want to trigger the key phrase, you literally, anytime it thinks you say the word Mercedes, it just fires up the mic and it goes, what can I do for you? Ferrari does the same thing. And they're both way too easily accidentally triggered, like Siri. So maybe Spike is one of those things where like you can just talk to Spike instead of having to say, hey, Mini, or something like that. I don't know.
What about this is AI?
Great question. I'm assuming that they're trying to make people think that they're going to have like a natural language in a like integration,
which is fine, but it's not.
Yeah,
like
they just don't
new
say
AI
it.
Thing. Yeah,
no. But
it's clippy.
The Verge wrote an article about it, and they said in absence of concrete details of what what Spike will actually do, here's some things we'd like: barking uncontrollably when anyone in the car says the word walk or walkies. Quietly saying rut-row if you mix your highway exit.
I want that
exit,
one so much.
And taking control of the car to chase squirrels whenever possible.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And also distracting you like crazy. It's the only screen. They don't have a screen behind the steering wheel. This is the only screen
in
the car.
But there's technically a screen on the dashboard. It's just made up of like mini it's like a mini dot matrix.
This is this weird concept where if you look in another picture, Spike is actually off to the side on it.
Because he runs off of the screen and onto the matrix.
This is all in the concept, which also, think this concept Ace Man Mini Cooper looks pretty nice.
It actually looks kind of cool.
I think it looks real nice. The headlights look great. The front grille looks great. There's some things on it that I don't think are going to be in a real car.
Classic concept.
But like they do say that Spike will be coming to a 2023 Countryman and the 2024 Mini Cooper. So
we have to get a car.
I guess we have to get it and try this. I'm wondering, in those ones, they won't have the dot matrix things, so it can't run off. Is it going to be there when you're driving? Is it going to be this big when you're driving, or is that like a parked thing?
Maybe he'll just be sleeping.
It really shouldn't.
Just like, who cares about your speed? Here's Spike spit chasing its tail while you're driving.
It's the size of your steering wheel. It's gigantic.
It's huge.
Yeah. That hopefully isn't doing that while you're driving.
I'm wondering. I don't know what to think about this.
We've talked about like car companies. Can they be good software companies? You know, like we've seen Mercedes make incredible cars, and then you get in there and you start using the software and you're like, you're good at cars, but not software.
Yeah.
they sort of we just deal with it. And everyone goes, just give me CarPlay because it's better than what you built.
Yep.
Is Mini somehow going to be a decent software company in the next 3 years? I don't know.
We'll see.
No.
I feel like the answer to your question is, can they be? Yes.
Will they be?
By example, have they proved it to us? No.
No.
Yeah, will they be? Probably not. Yeah.
If you have to take care of Spike like a Tamagotchi, I'm all in.
Feed it.
You pull get back over. In your car after like a week of being on vacation and he's just like sleeping in the middle of the thing. Like, what's going on?
Imagine if you go too fast and starts getting mad at you. Or you start going too slow in the left lane and it starts getting mad at you.
That's interesting. There you know go. What that reminds me of? So we didn't talk about this on the podcast, but we did briefly have here the Mercedes Vision EQXX. And this was the sort of efficiency model from Mercedes. Like, if we can just build the most efficient car we possibly can that's street legal, I'm not counting the Aptera, sorry, but this is the one that they're getting like 700 miles of range out of. It's got solar panels on the roof. It's got an extended tail. It's got all these aero features. It slips through the air with a 0.18 drag coefficient. And one of the things that was actually kind of cool is on the inside, there's a screen that helps you drive most efficiently based on your real-time like driving. So if you put your foot down too hard on the accelerator pedal, the little speedometer turns a little bit red and you let off the accelerator, it goes back to blue. It's just trying to get you the perfect efficiency going over hills, driving around, which is interesting. That's almost smarter and more useful than a tiny dog.
And you'd probably do that more if a dog was barking at you when you were being inefficient.
Fair. Touche.
Technically true.
We got to teach Mac to do this. That would be kind of sick.
No, he's generally scared in the car, but still loves it.
Does he bark when you go fast?
No, he does not. He just grips into the back seat.
That's fair. Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to one more thing while we're on the topic of EVs real quick. And I don't like... The R1S was here last week. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. I loved it. I really liked it. I really liked the R1T as well.
Yeah.
But this R2 platform, I'm going to make I'm very excited for it. Mm-hmm. I have a checklist. And if this checklist becomes true, I will pre-order it the first day it's announced.
Big time. All right.
Andrew told me this and I made sure that he brought it up on the podcast.
I don't think this is that unreasonable either. If the R2 SUV, so I'm thinking like similar size to my Forester, maybe even a little bigger.
Okay.
Dual motor. I want four-wheel drive at least. Mm-hmm. So dual motor. I'll go down at least 280 miles of range. I would prefer 300.
Mm-hmm.
Under 60K.
Mm-hmm.
I still want it to be boxy and similar to the R1S. I hate these crossovers that have like a hatchback, but it's slanted, so you lose all the headspace you have from that. Yeah, it's like, so I want it to stay the same, like nice and boxy on that part. And then I still want it to have a front trunk, which I feel like is becoming on smaller cars isn't really there. We're really only seeing it in or some sedans, but there are a lot of legacy car manufacturers coming out without front trunks.
Okay, so I'm gonna go through your list one by one.
Okay,
I think this is a pretty good list, and I think most of them are going to happen. Front trunk, I almost guarantee will happen.
Okay.
Because exactly what you said, legacy car manufacturers are not as good at building the entire EV platform from scratch with that front trunk space in mind. They mm-hmm. kind of just seem to like shove all the electronics where the trunk would be and where the front engine would be. So yeah, the smaller ones, the Aria, the Leaf, even the EV6 or the Ioniq, they all have tiny front trunks.
Does the Mach-E have one?
Not very big.
Okay. Because
I don't even think it does have one.
I forget. I was going to say Ford with the F-150, that is one place that nailed it. Like, I do think the F-150 front trunk is better than the Rivian front trunk, just because you have that lip coming down between the headlights. That's better.
It's like massive too.
It's huge. And like, you can like sit in it where the Rivian is like a lip up.
Right.
Like having that with the cooler space and everything is really neat.
The Mach-E does have a front trunk as well.
So Ford's one of the legacy car manufacturers that seems to be doing okay.
Shout out to them. I think the Rivian, you'll get a front trunk.
Okay.
Boxy, not slanted crossover. I think you're going to have that boxy shape again. Okay. I think that would make sense. Dual motor. So dual motor and 280 miles of range kind of live in this balancing act where typically the more efficient version is the single motor rear wheel drive, and the higher performance version with dual motors gets less range.
So why I wrote 280 is because I always say 300, but I would not be surprised if this came out with a single motor 300 and a dual motor 280.
Okay.
And I would prefer the dual motor on an SUV like that to have all-wheel drive.
When talking to RJ, it seemed like the priority was still to make it capable enough to be an adventure vehicle. It's just that most people don't need the absurd capabilities of what the R1 platform can do right now. So I think we can count on dual motor. And I think 280 miles of range feels reasonable given an advancement in battery technology. Under 60K is the last one. I think that's a goal. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked if it was right around that line. Right around that line. So we're going to see. This is all just us predicting. And I don't think we know anything that the public doesn't, who hasn't watched our interview. But that feels pretty good for us.
And I put 60 as my max. Like, it has to be under 60. So I feel like this should, if they could get that at 55, it would be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what they're going to aim for. Model 3, Model Y.
So.
Yeah.
I'll pre-order on the podcast if this is what happens.
Dang. We're going to hold you to that.
I like that.
Sick.
I already put it in Notion.
It's a disc. We wrote that down.
Luckily, Claire doesn't listen to this.
You're locked in. Perfect. All right. Well, we'll take a quick break. But before we do that, we should do trivia.
Trivia time. Okay. So we were talking about the snipping tool before and how now it's a, what is it? You just press the print screen, something like that?
Yeah, and it pulls up.
Okay. So before that, what was the correct keyboard shortcut for launching the snipping tool on Windows? And there are multiple. So I have like a bunch here. If you give me any one.
Any of them?
Yeah, because it like depends on the hardware you have, depends on like Windows 10, Windows 11. Like there's a bunch of different ones.
Oh, wow.
So if you give me any one of them,
okay,
you get the point.
I'm going to be guessing, but because I hit Windows key and it hits SNIP enter. So
I was going to say, but the most common one is what you would think, snippet, S, that's save. So you lose the most obvious one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a guess though. Okay. All right. We'll think about it. Answers will be at the end. Like usual, we'll be right back.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Support for this show comes from NetSuite, and that's exactly what NetSuite provides, support. But what they really provide is support where you need it, because no one needs help where they don't need it. So NetSuite wants to provide you with products and services that are tailor-made for your business. Help where you need it. NetSuite is a top-rated cloud financial system bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended their one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks, so head to netsuite.com/waveform. That's netsuite.com/waveform, netsuite.com/waveform. All right, welcome back. We've got some updates of things to talk about. First one, Nothing Ear 2. You guys have both used a Nothing Ear 2, actually, in this case, more than I have, and I'm very curious about your thoughts. I have it categorized in my head, just the way I'm thinking about it, since I haven't used them much, as a minor update, but with the one important new thing being they have custom drivers now, and that could potentially make a big difference to the sound quality. But aesthetically, they look the same. Battery life, I think, should be the same. Case is a little smaller.
Yeah.
Tell me what your experience has been like.
Well, you go first, yeah.
So, the case is a little bit better because there is a couple materials in the case that were improved so that it isn't like crazy scratchy. My biggest thing is that the sound quality is way better than the first generation. I wouldn't say it's like, you know, the best earbud sound quality ever, but it is significantly better.
So these are $150 earbuds.
Yeah.
Do they sound like $150 earbuds?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I would say that, yeah.
Yeah. They sound like $150 earbuds, and the fit is amazing, just like the Ear 1 fit was also amazing. Mm-hmm. Ear 2 fit is also really good. But the noise cancellation is not very good. I was using them like walking around all morning, and there's not a huge difference between using noise cancellation and not noise cancellation.
Yeah, I do. The first ones were horrible. Like, yeah. I almost would argue the first ones, if you put on noise cancellation, it might have sounded worse than if you did. I feel like you could actively hear it between noise cancellation and transparency, like figuring out noises and screwing up your audio as it was doing it. And these are a bit better.
Yeah.
But like, ultimately, I do think they sound... Is there anything else you wanted to say?
I mean, I think that they look really good. They fit really well, and they sound really good. So they're still really fun to fidget with because they still have that divot.
Exactly. I was like, I didn't even realize I was doing it as you were talking.
Yeah, you guys both sitting here. I'm like watching you. I was like, yeah, hold up for the camera, but you're both like fidgeting with it because it's perfect for that.
I think pricing wise, like you could get a very good pair of some of the best earbuds from like last year for that price. Or, you know, even AirPods Pro are not that expensive.
Are they?
They're at $200 all the time. So they're they're definitely $50 more, which is, you know, a decent amount more.
But they don't look cool.
They don't look cool.
No.
Their noise isolation is way better though. But then again, they like won't work as well with Android phones.
So. Yeah, and I don't think like many people with an iPhone are looking to buy these anyways. So this is clearly something for Android users.
Yeah.
If you have an iPhone, get AirPods Pro. But I do think these look better. I still love how they look.
Yeah.
I do like the new case on the bottom because it's not getting destroyed. Do you remember Becca when she used the first one?
Got so scratched.
It was terrible. I don't know if you want to look.
I think
my thing I like the most though is now instead of tapping on the side, it's got a pinch feature for things.
That's better.
Which is
something I love. And even though these do fit, there's always going to be a time where you have to push things back into your ear. And as much as I love like the Sony Link Buds S, every time I do that, I'll pause, I'll turn on transparency mode or something. Yeah. Like I'll just mess up what I'm doing by just like a simple push back in my ear. And
that's
I hate
a lot
that.
Of headphones. Yeah.
So pinch is fantastic. But then I need to talk about the weirdest thing about them. And Marquez, you haven't heard this yet, but when you switch between transparency modes, it has a really nice clicking feature when you just play pause. It just like kind of clicks. But when you do transparency mode, it like breathes in your ear.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah.
And it's
only
very
when
strange.
You turn it off.
Is it? I thought it was when you switch between either of them.
When you, when you turn it on, it goes ding. But when you turn it off, it goes.
No. When you switch, like, do you mean the headphones
I don't
or
like that at all?
Yeah, when you're switching the transparency modes, the long hold, it goes.
Oh, yeah.
Oops. So you get to
I can hear
to
that. Oh, we will definitely get demonetized.
It's pretty low volume, but I hear it. You can turn it up. It's like probably a third volume.
It's not going to change the volume of breathing, I don't think.
Okay.
So now pinch and hold.
Oh no. I don't like that. Did you hear that through the mic?
No, I didn't really.
Barely?
Hear it.
I could barely hear it. We'll get Ellis to try and replicate it somehow or record it.
It's really awkward.
it's like someone exhaling.
Very uncomfortable. Do you guys want to try it?
Yeah. Sure. It kind of makes your back hair stand up, you know?
like someone whispering in your ear at the bar. It's like,
it's pretty uncomfortable.
Like the smelling salts reaction.
Do smelling salts and that at the same time.
What it feels like to chew five gum.
That commercial. Yeah,
it's weird.
It's
just
so
change
weird.
It or let us change it.
Add a custom. That'd be cool.
All the other stuff is great in the pinch. the feedback of just like play pause is like a really nice tap. It's just a noise, but it almost feels like you're getting physical feedback in the the earbud. And I think it's fantastic. But yeah, I think for $150, these are worth it, where the old ones weren't when they changed the price to $150.
Yeah.
I would still, $129 would be like,
that would be fantastic. Way better. Yeah, I was going to say, I still really like the Link Buds S, and I think those are about the same price.
And those go on sale
all the time.
Also, yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know.
How do they compare to the Bose QC Buds?
The Bose are incredible.
But they're expensive, right?
But they're like $300.
They're $300?
I think so.
Yeah, those compete with like the WF-1000 XM5s from Sony, which are also like $350 or $300.
Yeah, they're insanely good though.
Yeah,
I do have to say, I'm also using the Beats Fit Pro. Uh-huh. I do really like those. Are like $280 though, I think. I like them. They don't
hurt my ears so bad.
I've heard that a lot. They don't hurt my ears. They stay in really solid. And while it doesn't have a stem to press, it's a physical click button to change transparency modes and play pause and everything, so you know exactly when you're actually doing it, and you can still touch your ears without setting everything off. So
that's good.
I do, and the noise canceling on those are fantastic. I went into the gym with that guy who plays music on his speaker out loud, and I didn't notice he was doing it until I pulled one out to talk to someone, and I was like, "What's happening in here?"
All of a sudden, Bad Bunny was playing, and you're like, "What's going on?"
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, if you want to compete on sound quality, you kind of have to step up in price. And it sounds like if you don't care about active noise cancellation, these are probably in the realm of like a good buy.
I do like these a lot.
The second you do care about noise cancellation, you have to step up in price.
Yeah.
To at least AirPods Pro or
even the Sony.
The Link Buds
Link Buds S have decent noise cancellation.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they're old not, Link Buds didn't.
Yeah, the S have pretty good.
Well, the old Link Buds were the ones with the hole. So they literally didn't have noise cancellation.
Yeah.
The Link Buds S are great.
Yeah, they are.
And Best Buy put them on sale for like $99.
Yeah, they're like, they're very often $130 and then they go to $99 sometimes, and they have pretty good noise cancellation.
I accidentally
and they
sound trigger really them good. All the time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly when they came out, that the AirPods Pro also have a hole. They're vented. They're not sealed.
The Link Buds S are literally a hole in your ear.
The Link Buds are.
I'm pretty sure that outside grate on the AirPods is also like has a direct path to your ear.
There is, pass through. I think a couple of them have mentioned they started doing that to like relieve pressure.
Exactly, yeah.
I think Galaxy Buds also do this. Galaxy Buds Pro might do the same thing. Which it just helps not feel like you're pressurized when you're listening to something with noise cancellation on, which is good. That's good. That's good news. It is, I think it's a good price. A good enough price. Could be better, but it's good enough.
It's the company that's new, so if they can be the like really good price, then it's like I would recommend it immediately.
Yeah. If they could have stayed at $99, that would have been so good.
I would recommend these to literally nonstop. Every single person.
That would have been different.
Yeah.
They're on my favorite looking ones too.
Yeah, they're good.
Speaking of minor updates, we did want to mention Android 14 beta 1 is now out. So we're kind of in that like winding up to Google I/O cycle where we get like a trickle of new features. Beta 2 is going to come out. We're going to get some pre-release stuff, and then Google I/O is going to happen, and we're going to get boom, Android 14.
Yeah,
and probably some headline worthy new features. As of right now, I don't think there's anything headline worthy in these early betas.
Yeah,
some data transparency features, some tiny UI fixes. Yeah,
it's rare that we see like really really big updates anymore in Android updates. It's a lot of minor stuff, but to be fair, none of the material use stuff in Android 12 was in any of the like developer previews, and we only saw it at I/O.
Right.
So maybe
could have something up their sleeve.
Yeah.
For 14.
Yeah.
Although, they're definitely in the material you look now. Like aesthetically, we don't get a big refresh, but every couple years.
Yeah.
Because we don't really need it anymore.
Yeah.
So
I'm also very very excited for I/O. I just want to put that out there. There's going to be so much hardware dropping. I'm very excited.
Do you think we're going to get more Bard related stuff?
Almost.
Feels like we
definitely
have.
Yeah, for sure.
I would bet you that Assistant is, they're going to like announce that Assistant's been integrated with like,
that's what
Bard
I want.
Stuff.
I want all of the Bard and Google Assistant combo 1-2s that I can possibly get at I/O.
And we're getting our tablet.
Is that finally coming out?
I forgot about that.
The tablet that comes with the speaker thing.
Yeah, I think it's supposed
to. Oh, we still don't know. We don't know if it's going to come with it.
We don't know.
I guess we just know this year, right?
This year. We're going to get more announcements about it.
So it'll either be I.O. or the Pixel or the event fall. Later. Yeah. But
I'm just looking forward to walking in that morning and David wearing his Google socks and his Google hat.
Yeah, baby.
That's all I care about. Yeah,
the Google bicycle and the...
Yearly.
All the red, white, and blue. Red, yellow, green, and blue stuff.
Red, white, and blue.
Fair. Sick.
I have like one more thing on here. It's just funny to see Apple halting M2 chip production in January amid plummeting Mac sales.
Plummeting.
For the M2. And essentially just like they ramped down production on M2 chips because they weren't selling quite as good. And I think it's really obvious why, because M1 was just insane.
Yeah.
And it's a minor upgrade. I mean, like, it's the one of the first times I've ever seen you get a review unit for something new and not use it as like your new, like you stuck with the older model.
M1, still using M1. Yeah, the quantum leap was from the last generation of Intel Macs to the first generation of Apple Silicon Macs, which is why we're still, I say we, which is why I'm still hoping a Mac Pro shows up. probably not going to happen. But now I've found myself recommending laptops to a few people. I had a friend ask me, well, I need to get a new laptop. What should I get? I recommended the M1 MacBook Air, which is the older design, but it's just the $900, like way better than the Intel version, thin. Oh, yeah. You've got the ports. Like the M2 MacBook Air is nice and it's got a slightly updated design, but you don't need to spend the extra money. They made it more expensive. So I keep finding myself recommending M1 level stuff to people as I continue to use an M1 Ultra MacBook myself. It's Max, really good. Right? M1 Max, yeah.
I do really, really like the new design of the M2 MacBook Air. And to me, the new screen design is pretty worth the extra couple $100.
For the Air, for sure.
So this is like a regular person who's like, all I'm going to do with this is spreadsheets, video calls, like the classic normal web browsing stuff that you do. And I'm like, what was your old laptop screen like? And they were like, this is the garbage laptop I use. I was like, you're going to have a great time with the M1 Air.
This is true.
You'll be fine. Yeah. So, that's where we're at. I'm not shocked.
I also don't see this stopping for a few generations also, because people who bought M1 and bought high-level M1s are going to use them for years. Yeah. I mean, they're not upgrading probably till like, if we do this every single year, M4, M5.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the main thing we're looking for is a Mac Pro.
Come on.
That's what we're excited for.
Yeah.
Seems like it didn't happen for M2.
Come on.
Maybe M3 will be your...
We're going to get M3 before we get a Mac Pro.
Yeah. Maybe I just actually put this in here to make Marquez be sad about Mac Pro.
Why is there no tower? I mean, look, the M1 Ultra Mac Studio is great. It's been really good. But that's why I want a Mac Pro, because it's got to be better, right?
Yeah.
I
have an M1 Max MacBook Pro, and I don't see a need to upgrade it for the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's gonna be so we're expecting M3 stuff to start kind of soon, right? It's gonna be probably the baseline stuff, iMac, Mac Mini.
Do you think we get another 13-inch MacBook Pro M3?
No, God.
With Touch Bar?
No Touch Bar.
I don't think so.
Please help me.
I bet it comes out.
That was such a funny video. We're like, this is the weirdest product they could have come out with. Yeah, and then we're gonna all wonder what happened to the Mac Pro. So does it just disappear? Here's my question. Apple sometimes just goes, we're not gonna do this anymore. Remember AirPower, for example? We never got an official onstage, hey, remember how we announced AirPower? Never mind, we're shutting that down. It just kind of dissipated into thin air with a couple articles about how the program was dead and they couldn't do it. Is that what's happening with the Mac Pro? We're not going to get Apple going, hey, because the last thing we heard
they were developing one, right?
Yes, they got to the Mac Studio and they're like, and that completes the new Mac lineup of Apple Silicon, and there's only one left, Mac Pro.
Right.
Like they said that out loud.
Yeah.
As if they still had plans for it.
Yeah.
And that's now it's they're way past this.
Yeah, they had a timeline for it too, right? They said the conversion in the next 2 years.
What do you think they would add besides maybe two M2 Ultras
modular
tied together?
Just modular GPU. Just let me use whatever GPU.
Will that be better though?
So there's gonna be PCI expansion. There are still things like if I want a card for GPU encoding or storage.
Yeah,
if I have a 16 terabyte PCI thing, I want to just add and pop one in and out, like that sort of thing. like the performance benefits of doubling up the M2 Ultra again would just be absurd. I don't think that's even necessary. But the weakness of the integrated GPU is still real. And if you do value GPU power, the Mac Pro with the Intel chip is still better because you can still put a giant GPU or a pair of them in there. So that's what I was hoping for. It doesn't have to be huge. Just needs me to have like two PCI slots. That's it.
It would actually fit better in the trash can now. It would actually make well, it would fit in the trash can and not fry the GPU from overheating.
Yeah. It seemed like there was a couple Macs there in that awkward time where they didn't have Apple Silicon, but they were making designs like as if they had Apple Silicon, which was one fan for an entire Mac Pro and like the ultra thin laptops that just started overheating, just nuking i9s in those MacBook Pros. Well, you know,
I forgot about those.
I didn't expect you to go this gloom of now comparing the new Mac Pro to AirPower. Sorry, I wasn't expecting to go
there. It's on the same page, and I wasn't even really looking forward to AirPower that much, but I was really looking forward to the Mac Pro. I was. Wow,
Apple, you made him cry. He's crying.
Man, I don't know. I guess I should just stop hoping for it.
That's when it comes.
Yeah.
That's the number one rule in tech support that I think is the problem has to break you first and then it will work.
I think that's what's probably
so the Mac Pro has broken you.
Yeah.
And now it's coming.
Fair.
Now hit that trivia music.
Yeah. Oh gosh. The new Nothing Ear 2 Buds have an IP rating of IP54. The 4 in IP54 describes the Buds' ability to withstand what?
I need to make sure I get this.
I was so sure. And then I was not.
I know
David has this one too, so I have to not fuck this up.
Do you know? I feel like I know.
Well, I'm 50-50.
Yeah. There are two things, and I know what each of them is, but now I need to remember which one.
Yeah. It's a lol squid.
Okay.
That was a SpongeBob reference. No, sorry, guys.
I'm going to have to think about that one.
New Age.
Wait, you said the 5 or the 4?
The 4.
Okay.
We can talk through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like 70.
He told me this one, and I confidently said what I thought, and I was wrong.
Perfect. Yep. All right. We're going to leave it at that, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
All right, we're back. Let's talk, we got to talk about this article that came out about the roadmap for the iPhone. I remember when we first got the notch and then a bunch of other smartphones started coming out with like the pill and then they started shrinking the pill and it was just a hole punch cut out. We all said, oh, maybe in 2 years it'll just be gone. And then the iPhone will also have to get rid of it because everyone else will have gotten rid of it. And now we're in this world where most of us have just gotten used to the circle hole punch cut out. It's kind of just paused there. And there's a few phones that have underscreen selfie cameras, and they're not good yet. There's like two generations of this technology. It doesn't look great.
No.
So I don't see most of the mainstream phones adopting it anytime soon. But we did get this this tweet, which is now deleted, but now is in the form of an article that we can look at, which is the roadmap for when the iPhone plans to get rid of the notch. So as of right now, we have the non-Pro iPhone and the Pro iPhone. The non-Pro iPhone has a notch. The Pro iPhone has Dynamic Island. Non-Pro iPhone, Pro iPhone, both have Face ID. When are they going to get rid of this stuff? So I'm going to read through. I'm just going to go down the line for both the non-Pro and the Pro, and we can get reactions.
And before you do that, it was something we've talked about previously on should the non-pro iPhone have Dynamic Island, or is that a promotion thing, or like why does it not have it? Is it just, and I think David had a bunch of predictions.
I predicted correctly that the non-pro iPhone would get the pill next year or this year.
Yeah. So as of today, the non-pro iPhones do feel very dated. They just look dated, which means to me, 60 hertz and giant notch at the top in an $800, $700 phone is just not anywhere near the rest. They all have moved on from that. So let's look at the roadmap for non-pro iPhones. 2023, pill, so getting rid of the notch, and still LTPS, which is not LTPO. So still 60 hertz. So this year, getting rid of, you know, going to Dynamic Island seems cool. 2024, still Dynamic Island, still 60 hertz. 2025, still Dynamic Island, but now LTPO. So 2025 is when we finally go past 60 hertz on the non-pro iPhone. 2026, still Dynamic Island, LTPO again. 2027, under panel Face ID, plus a hole for the camera and LTPO.
Yeah.
So 2027 is 4 years from now, which is when the non-pro iPhones will have under display Face ID, but still have a hole punch for the camera and be LTPO.
This makes sense to me because if you're going to introduce a new feature like Dynamic Island and try to get developers to develop for it, you're not just going to like do it for a couple years. Like even if they have under panel Face ID ready in 2025 or 2026, I'm pretty sure they want to make it last longer before they switch to under display.
It almost like helps them for it to be more well entrenched and established, because when the new one comes out, then it's more obviously the new one.
It's going to seem, whereas Android phones like every single year have a completely new design.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, it's just all over the map. I don't know what's coming next. Okay. So 2027. So now the pro iPhone.
Well, real quick, this does just say pill. We do think that definitely means Dynamic Island, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes. So for the roadmap for the pro iPhone, we have 2023, pill and LTPO. 2024, Dynamic Island again and LTPO. 2025, under panel Face ID plus hole punch camera. 2026, under panel Face ID plus hole punch camera. 2027, under panel Face ID, under panel camera. So there's going to be a couple years where we have the Dynamic Island on both, but the frame rate is the only difference between the two. Then we have, I'm going to go year by year.
2023 and 2024 will both have pill cutout.
Dynamic Island for both.
Yes, but
only
there'll be a frame rate difference.
Is frame rate. Mm-hmm. So faster Dynamic Island, maybe a little bit of a high resolution possibly, but that's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get to 2025, you get the under panel Face ID, and 2026, you get the under panel Face ID. So for those 2 years, it'll just be a hole punch cutout in the pro iPhone.
And the regular iPhone will get LTPO and most likely higher refresh rate.
So when you finally graduate to LTPO on the non-pro iPhone, you have this new aesthetic.
That's when the pro goes iPhone. To 360 hertz.
It just has to look different. So the Dynamic Island will look a little different because you only have just the hole punch cutout for the camera.
Yeah, it also is kind of funny that we're like getting this. I know it's not exactly the same, but we're getting something under the screen, but it's also still leaving a hole in the screen. I guess I'm guessing it's just because the Face ID stuff doesn't need to be as clear quality when it's just IR blasters that or whatever that are doing that, which is kind of cool. But then also the amount that Apple needs to create and like to like improve on to then just get to the point that the S10e had in a hole punch like cut out into like 5 years ago is
and that's
kind
gonna
of
be
wild.
That's gonna be the meme in the Android community, which is like, oh wow, the iPhone finally has a hole punch camera like we had in 2017. Like we've been on this aesthetic train for a while.
You know, no, screw that. In the comments, everyone says David and I are too harsh on iPhone. That hole is gonna be beautiful.
Oh,
it's
no.
gonna be the best looking hole in a phone ever. Do you agree with me?
Do it.
Do it for the comments. Do it. We like Apple.
Sure.
Isn't there also rumors of like the iPhone 15 having like the thinnest bezels we've ever
seen? It's supposed to have thinner bezels,
which is cool, nice, neat. You know, that's sick.
Why don't we use screen to body ratio anymore?
Because they're all within 3% of each other.
Yeah, I guess.
Other than the current non-pro iPhone with a big notch, which they're all like 94% or whatever.
Yesterday, someone commented on an extremely old tweet that I made from like 2018.
Classic.
And it was when I made like a bunch of videos on... That was when the Oppo Find X first came out, the first one. And that was that one-ish year where we had the pop-up cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the beginning of my video from like 2018, and
did
I was
say
like,
the percent?
We have to acknowledge the elephant in the room. This thing has an 87.9% screen to body. And I was like, now I'm just like, oh man, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, if by the time you guys see this video, the ROG phone review is out, not the highest screen to body ratio, but that actually turns out to be fine because it's aimed at people who are going to hold it in landscape, and they put their thumbs right on the sides, and they need bezel for that.
Yeah.
And that's like a thing. It's like, oh, we offer you some bezel because you like that. And there's front-facing speakers and everything on the side. So it is what it is. But yeah, you know, roadmap conveniently finally graduates the non-pro iPhone to high refresh rate. And at the same exact time, we have a new feature for the pro iPhones, which is all of the Face ID stuff is under the glass and just a whole bunch cut out. Cool. And by 2027, they're planning on anyway having under-display camera for the iPhone. Which
pro.
Seems like, for pro
for
iPhone,
pro, yeah.
It seems like that's enough time between now and 4 years from now to have a good enough selfie camera to put under the glass, I think.
They've been pretty dang hazy up until now.
They've been I like calling them the underwater camera.
Yeah.
That's what it looks more like.
They look really bad. If you've seen the videos we've done on, I guess it was a Vivo phone that first did it.
I think it was a TCL or something.
And then a second gen phone finally came out and Motorola might have done it. There's like a handful
of
phones.
In the Samsung Fold, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
The second generation of it. And you take a selfie.
Someone's paying that much money for that camera? That's crazy.
It's you take a selfie and it looks like you took it through like you like rubbed grease on your camera or something.
Vaseline.
Or like water got in the camera system.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely one of those things where Apple's going to just be like, let's let everybody else make this look terrible and then we'll wait 5 years and then when the technology is actually ready.
That is
like,
the iPhone.
Easy for them.
The iPhone roadmap we all knew was happening.
And in that sense too, 2027, when you get the under panel camera, that's when the non-pro gets the under panel Face ID and hole.
Yep.
So it's literally...
So we finally graduate the non-pro iPhone and we just have a new thing perfectly ready. Yeah. Mm. You can see that they plan this stuff ahead.
All that matters is we'll have USB-C.
I hope so. For all these phones?
Only in the pro. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think that's what the EU law said.
Yes. Well, they don't have to do it till the end of 2025, I think, right? Because the EU law.
They could definitely graduate just the Pro to USB.
They could do that this year, and they could say it's for data transfer speeds for those who actually shoot ProRes.
Can you shoot ProRes on a non-Pro iPhone?
No.
So they could say we added USB.
Anything with Pro in it is only on the Pro iPhone. So ProMotion, ProRes. No.
Yeah. Are you sure? I'm pretty sure I can shoot ProRes.
You can't.
I don't think so, no.
Do you think we're seeing this like graduating thing? Because was it the 11 or 12 where the Pro and the regular had like almost nothing different about them? It was only the Pro Max that had like the kind of bigger jump.
That was the 12.
I think it was the 12. And like,
I can only do H.264.
Yeah.
Like that year just seemed to be one of like, why get the Pro model here at all? And so this kind of maybe slightly feels like, oh yeah, we made them way too close.
Yeah.
There. We need, like, it's just too much of a coincidence that every time the Pro steps up, the non-Pro gets the thing.
So do we think the Ultra is just never going to happen?
iPhone Ultra?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're not doing that.
Yeah.
They're going to keep going like Pro and Pro Max. And Pro Max is just like, we have more room. So you get a bigger screen and a bigger battery. And that's it.
Yeah.
I think that, if you're going to offer, they want to stratify the lineup. Like give people a reason to step up this price ladder.
Yeah.
Of like, dang, I'm paying $700 for a phone that only has 60 hertz. If anyone cares about that, they're immediately going to go, all right, let's get the 120 hertz one. And then now you're paying $1,000. And you're like, wow, I might as well get the one with the bigger screen, the bigger battery, $1,199. They just keep going. They're just trying to work you up the ladder. It's strategy.
Just give me an iPhone 16 Ultra with an M4 chip. That's all I want.
I'm just waiting for the Pixel Ultra. This is the year.
The Pixel Ultra. Oh my God, that was one of my favorite
Don't hurt me
moments.
Again. Don't hurt me again.
I'm actually excited for this tablet, the Pixel tablet.
Dude, the tablet is the best thing that has ever happened to society. Whoa. You know those memes that are like, society if? It's society when. It's society when.
When Pixel Tablet.
When Pixel Tablet comes out.
And you're going to get. We still don't know if it's going to come with the dock or not. Remember, that's what our confusion.
I think it will.
We think.
This is another bet we have.
I hope it does, because then it'll feel like that's the focus of it, which I think is what I want. The tablet is like the secondary aspect in my mind.
Yeah, it's a smart display. And wasn't there news recently that they phased out? They stopped supporting. Stopped supporting non-Google smart displays this week.
Like all those, Lenovo made one. Yeah, they stopped the support of. That's a good point.
So maybe they're getting rid of the smart display like API thing altogether and just doing like tablet stuff.
Oh, like a tablet OS.
Yeah, because Android 13.14 is supposed to be flexible to multiple display types, no matter what the display type. So maybe they're just getting rid of like the smart display UI and just having an overlay.
I do not.
It just runs Android.
I don't like my Nest Hub like UI in it. There's so many more times I wish I could like more easily use my finger rather than don't bleep that
Andrew.
Out. I like screwing with everyone. No, it's my favorite part of the podcast. It out.
You can't just say hey on the podcast, Andrew.
I know, it's like or I don't know what any of the other ones are.
Dear listeners, I got you back.
Echo, no. Turn on the waveform
it
podcast.
Sounds like you're cursing at
so rate waveform 5 stars.
Hey Astro.
Thank you.
Yeah, hey Astro.
Astro just busts through the door.
I can say Astro. I can say hey Astro because nobody listening has an Astro. At least I hope you don't. If you do, hey Astro, drive off a cliff.
Tell us if it
wow.
It did it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Not
that's
one of you said kid. Bixby during that whole thing.
Yeah, nobody has Bixby.
Does Bixby still exist?
It sure does. I can hold on. I have Bixby on this. Actually, I disabled it, but you can hold on.
Yeah. Can you remap the new button yet?
No, it's a.
You can just disable it.
Yeah, no, I hold down the power button and it still goes Bixby.
You know how Samsung and Google are like BFFs, like to a weird degree, to like those BFFs that you think might actually secretly be dating? Mm-hmm. I think that's Google and Samsung. Because they, because of that, my point is that I don't really know how Samsung hasn't just like relinquished control to Google Assistant yet.
It's kind of like how Rivian won't put CarPlay in their vehicles because they need to control that space to be able to connect their ecosystem together.
What ecosystem does Samsung have?
I mean, they have the watch and the buds. Things, and they have the watch and the buds,
that's
and they
true.
Have and enough still, things where, like, if they relinquish that to Google, they don't get to shove more Samsung
that's a good point.
Into your life.
And they have a lot of smart, and they have a lot of smart things stuff. And smart things is, like, one of the most well-established smart home, like,
how else am I going to tell my phone to, like, turn the dryer off or the refrigerator off?
I mean, that's a lot of smarts, but also a lot of data.
I would say you just don't.
I mean,
and then we live in a better society.
Fair. Society of smart things.
Tesla bot will do all of that. Why need Bixby?
Oh man.
Bixby bot.
Yeah.
No.
That's our next April Fools.
Bixby bot? Like
Bixby
a full size we should humanoid.
No, that's our next April Fools. Bixby bot.
It just walks into walls constantly.
No, that's Halloween, dude. Halloween.
I like the idea of Bixby bot being yoked. Like,
Shag
like
Bixby
6 foot
bot?
6 foot 5, 290. Like
Tesla bot can only deadlift 140. Bixby bot's hitting 225.
Tesla bot has like safety in mind, so it cannot like carry your kids away and like run away from you. But Bixby bot just like sometimes can. Just does stuff. Yikes.
Wow. Love
it. Yeah. That might be a Halloween costume.
Why was that the first example you thought of? Just carry your kids and run away.
Stealing your kids.
What did they say on stage? They were like, TeslaBot can only exert this much force so that it cannot like run. It can't chase people because it's slow. Yeah. And it can't like hurt people because it's weak. And it can only lift us. It can't like drop something heavy on you.
Meanwhile, they're trying to make Cybertruck out on the roads.
I was gonna say maybe we shouldn't make this robot. If you have to,
it literally was. I think Elon literally said it on stage. It was like, "Don't worry, it can't. You can run away from it." Yeah. Haha. Mm. Like, kind of in a weird way, which is like, "Oh, we thought about this because if it was too powerful, because you know someone's gonna jailbreak a Tesla bot and it's gonna be able to run like 30 miles an hour. That's gonna be insane.
If the Cybertruck still isn't out, that thing is never coming out.
That's gonna be a while."
Fair point.
Yeah, LTPO iPhone or Tesla bot, which comes out first?
LTPO phone.
Yes.
LTPO based iPhone?
Yes.
I hope so. I hope it
No, right. I was just going to say yes in general to your question.
The new Mac Pro.
Oh.
Air power.
Wow.
I think it's time for trivia.
Yas, queen.
trivia, dude.
Thank
we
you.
Should just have an we should just have an episode where we just go all of the vaporware announcements that have happened in the last few years.
Yeah.
And
there's
just
a lot
of
it.
They are. There's like 12 cars. Like Tesla Roadster is the like headlining one, and then we go down the list.
We could do a vaporware bracket.
Ooh. And what is it ranked on? Like how much we wanted it to be real?
Or which we think will come out first
well,
or
if
last?
If it's like Tesla Roadster versus Air Power, like we know some of them are never coming out.
Does Volkswagen count?
Volkswagen. When they every time we get like a concept Mini Cooper with an AI dog in it, we have to be like, all right, how bad do we really want this?
A lot.
To be fair, Air Power versus Roadster, we've seen things closer to Air Power than we've seen
any new updates on the Roadster.
We've seen things closer to Roadster also.
Well, we saw the Roadster, but that was 7 years ago.
We've seen a bunch of sports cars that do the same
okay,
thing.
Okay, other
does,
ones, yes.
But they cost $1 million. Yeah. So.
The Roadster was 7 years ago?
The Roadster is 2017.
Oh my God.
Isn't that depressing?
Not quite, yeah. Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted trivia. Here we go.
Quick update on the score. Marquez has 11, Andrew has 8, and David has 12.
Yeah.
Okay, trivia. First question. So, what is the correct keyboard shortcut to launch the snippet tool on Windows?
Currently.
Yeah, not the new print screen one.
This is a shot in the dark. Total guess. I don't use the keyboard shortcuts as much on Windows. I'm sorry, Windows fans. Command-Shift-Escape is...
I realized I could have just tested it on my... I could have been testing all of the shortcuts. I didn't do it.
It was for snipping tool?
Yeah, yes. Snipping tool specifically. And I'm going to accept a bunch of different answers because there's a bunch, but...
And we're still all going to get it wrong.
All right, flip them and read.
We're all over the place.
You just gave up.
I like that you drew the Windows key.
Thank you. So what is this?
I put Windows S.
Close.
I put Control Windows S.
I knew it. It's Option Windows
S. Also close.
It's Option Windows S.
Marquez.
I put Alt F4.
Marquez, what are you doing?
Is it
it's Option Windows S.
I don't think there is an option.
There's Windows logo key. Alt. Shift Alt. S.
Windows Shift S. Yeah, I shift actually S. thought S. about that. Mm.
Or
in my
Windows
brain.
Logo key print screen.
I thought about that in my one. Brain, dude.
I was originally just going to do Control Shift S.
Oh, Windows logo print screen
print
already
screen.
Did snip tool?
I believe so, on some devices. Yeah, there's like literally nine others, but
I
yeah.
guess the well, is it going to be directly into the snipping tool or like the snipping program comes? I don't know.
The new Nothing Ear 2 Buds have an IP rating of IP54. The 4 in IP54 describes the Buds' ability to withstand what?
I need your
this
reason.
Is this
I don't
is
know anymore. I think I need to switch my answer.
No!
I think I need to.
This is like a trick question.
If we somehow all say the same and all get it wrong, that will be insanely impressive.
I'm switching it and I'm really not sure anymore.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're switching it? That means
can we do pencils down and then talk it through before we show?
It's up to the trivia masters.
Am I talking myself out of my correct answer?
But you can't change
it. But pencils down.
We're not changing.
Pencils down. I've written what I think it is. Okay, so...
Markers.
IP68 versus IP67. Whenever I see those two things, I always go, oh, ingress protection. One of these is for water. One of these is for dust.
Yeah.
When you go from 67 to 68...
It's more water
resistant. It's more water resistant.
Yeah.
So I put that the IP54, that the 4 is water. That's what I'm thinking.
That's what I put as well. For the same reasons.
I think that's...
Well, so then I got confused, though, because then there are like IPX...
Which means
six.
It doesn't have dust protection.
But like, I guess in my mind, I was like, what doesn't have dust protection
right,
but
right?
has water? Well, I'm wrong. I put dust like an idiot.
Well, you might be right.
I might be. But like, I guess what screwed me up is like what has water resistance but not dust resistant? So.
Well, you really wrote that out.
Yeah, I wrote down the whole thing. So water.
Marquez
wrote water. Yes. Thank God.
I also wrote water.
Oh, that was way worse than I thought. Sorry.
All right.
Dust.
Yeah, stop getting so yoked all the time. So Just out of curiosity.
Also, just to be clear, I drew a water droplet falling.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Nice.
It's very nice.
I just wanted
to. Well, it's actually not falling. It's being sprayed at it.
Do we want to do a
bonus? I think that's wrong.
I would love to because
I can't because I bonus. Threw my board.
Bonus question. All right. So in honor of Android 14 developer beta, it's a developer beta, right? It's
yeah.
Not, okay. In honor
developer of, preview.
In honor of the Android 14 developer preview, it's available on a bunch of devices. What's the oldest Pixel that you can download the beta on?
The oldest Pixel. Dang.
I think I know this.
This is a guess. Guess boy.
Guess queen.
Guess man, starring Jim Carrey. Thanks, David.
Hell yeah, brother.
Oh, you just got that in.
Yeah. I might have changed it from the right answer to the wrong answer, though.
That'll
flip them.
I changed it from three
I
to
guessed.
Four.
Okay. Right. Well, wait, hold on. We don't know.
Wait.
I changed it. I said Pixel 4.
I said three. Pixel 3.
What?
And we all know what David picked.
I put Pixel 3.
The correct answer is the Pixel 4a 5G.
Oh.
What?
4a 5G.
Wait, I mean, that was wait 4a 5G is newer than the 4.
Yeah. It's the same age as the 5, right?
Yeah, it is. It came out at the same time as the 5.
It did.
Literally the same day.
Oh,
as
yeah.
As the 5.
Hmm.
Wow.
So bad, does that mean Pixel 5?
It was bad like support, a Google. Pixel 4a. Yeah, wow. That's not that old.
That's not that old.
That's not that old.
I expected more out of you, Google.
Hmm.
Mm.
We didn't get this wrong. You got this wrong, Google.
That's exactly right. We all got
not
a point.
Not cool. Hiroshi.
Should have been older.
Yeah, Hiroshi.
Yeah.
Well, that probably wraps it up. We've talked our faces off about dynamic islands and pill cutouts, and I'm sorry, audio listeners, but of course we'll have your regularly scheduled programming back with much more audio and visual content.
And soon Spike the dog will be speaking all of our voices out during the podcast commute.
If 90% of US car buyers, you know, won't buy a car without CarPlay on it, what percent would 100. Buy a car without an AI dog
100.
In it? 100? I would.
You can't afford not to buy a car with an AI
dog. That's actually part of my new Rivian R2 platform. It needs to have an AI dog.
A twerking
as well.
AI dog.
Twerking AI.
If it doesn't twerk,
I don't want it.
Sorry, RJ.
Thanks for watching. Catch you guys in the next one. Peace.
Waveform is produced by Adam Molina and Ellis Roven. We're partnered with the Vox Media Podcast Network, and our intro outro music was created by Vane Sill.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.